Last Monday, approximately 65% of eligible Canadian voters cast a ballot in the federal election. After years of scandals, spending cuts, and hidden surpluses, the Liberals are finally out of office. Paul Martin has resigned as leader. Stephen Harper will be Prime Minister of a Conservative minority government, although one with less seats than the Liberals had for the last year and a half. Greg Albo is a professor of political science at York University. He joins me now by phone from Edmonton. Good morning, Greg.
Hello there.
Were you surprised by the election results?
I think, like most people in general, you're surprised about the immediate results. The collapse of the Liberals during the campaign was a bit surprising, particularly the drop-off of votes through Ontario as the campaign went on, and the rise of the Conservatives in Quebec was quite surprising. On the other hand, I think, like many others, the attitude toward the election is a little bit of apathy or complacency, since I think, like most people, we know we're getting the same kind of, possibly getting many of the same kinds of policies in government in either case. So the interesting thing will be to try to assess and calibrate what exactly will be new with the Conservative government. Considering, I think, we were getting neoliberalism with the Liberals, we'll get neoliberalism with the Conservatives. So the question is trying to assess and understand what kind of neoliberalism they will deliver and where the shifts within neoliberalism will come from.
Given that the Liberals had made significant cuts for funding to social programs over the last 12 years, do you expect we'll see more of this under the Conservatives?
I think there was a lot of code words in the Conservative campaign, and they were very careful on how much they spoke about cuts at all. They had the largest dollar shift in overall expenditures planned. Their campaign cost came in around $70 billion, the Liberals at about $50 billion, and the NDP at about $60-something. So in one sense, they're the biggest shifters in fiscal capacity. But I think what this means is that they are oriented, as Conservatives have been for some time, to cut taxes and then start squeezing down expenditures after that. I think, you know, that was one code aspect to the overall balance of their proposals. Second is, of course, they're speaking about fiscal imbalances. Is also tends to be a code word for wanting to restructure not just the balances between the expenditures between the federal government and the provinces, but also code word for cutbacks. Similarly, some of their general views on choices in social policy are also tend to be code words for also various forms of cutbacks.
With their talk about the fiscal imbalances with the provinces, what sort of changes could we expect from this?
I think when they mean it, they mean a variety of things. They mean decentralization quite clearly. I think that's one aspect. They also tend to mean keeping some of the issues around oil and gas and natural resource revenues from being considered in equalization payments. This is something that Alberta wants, of course, because of the explosion of oil prices means they also have huge royalties. But it's also something that is important to the eastern provinces with their oil revenues. But that is an aspect of re-engineering, I think, between them. They also, in general, want to cut the federal government away from a range of other involvements in expenditure transfers around education, around welfare policy. So I think the fiscal imbalance will speak to a lot of these kinds of cuts.
Are there any existing public services and resources that are more likely to be privatized by the new government?
Yeah, well, their platform had a number of proposals around that, I think, which speak to attempting to shift in the mix of public and private delivery of social services to giving more to the balance towards markets. Their proposals around daycare, for example, of giving each family $1,200 will move in the direction much more of a market-based system. Similarly, many of their proposals around healthcare, while they explicitly call for a greater mix of private and public healthcare delivery, following what Ralph Klein in Alberta has been calling the third way. They'll also, much of their proposals around education and university financing are more or less to put some money in the hands of students directly and then allow them to make choices and less kind of policies directed overall funding to university education. So in a range of the areas, they're definitely shifting in the direction of P3s, market delivery, a greater mix of public and private healthcare delivery in the healthcare system, and so on. And I think the structure of the parties in Parliament will also push in that direction, and that they can find an alliance quite easily around these policies with the Bloc Québécois.
This week, Stephen Harper said that he wants to push his child care platform as soon as possible and give money directly to families to make their own child care decisions. Once this is done, how can we continue to push or hope for a national public child care program?
I think this might be an area where they actually have to compromise with some of the other parties in the House. It's quite possible that the Quebec system is a bit different already, and that it is much more delivered through the public sector already. And essentially, the transfer of money to families from the federal government would just provide another form of revenue into a publicly delivered system in Quebec. So there might be a different kind of compromise in the healthcare area if there's a campaign across the country, and if pressure can be put on both the NDP and Liberals to push for a national publicly delivered child care program. That was part of the NDP program, which they pushed for about $2 billion in expenditure immediately, and building a much more national child care program with much greater public service delivery. There was an aspect of it in the Liberal program, although they've been waffling on this for quite a while. So you could see a national program coming out of a different balance of forces if we can campaign across the country, and if we can push the two of the opposition parties in that direction. And then within that, the Tories could still do some of their direct transfer of money to families. But I think the only way we're going to do it is not expecting the parliamentary parties to do it on their own, but to push with a campaign through political mobilization and other work across the country for a national program.
Do you think that there was enough discussion on social issues during the election campaign?
Like foreign policy, there was a lot of surprising silence about social policy in this campaign. Focused a lot on good governance and sincerity and getting rid of corruption. And it was surprising that that was the campaign, of course, that the Conservatives more or less wanted to lead with, since they are largely oriented to withdrawing federal government activism in social policy. But it was a bit striking that the NDP had a campaign quite similar. You know, the main thing Layden kept saying over and over again is that he would provide a more sincere and honest government. And then they did some of their traditional defense of health care, particularly towards the end of the campaign as they were wanting to boost up again after their faltering at up to Christmas. So it was a bit surprising how marginal social policy issues were, considering that over the last number of campaigns they were integral aspects of the issues, health care, child care, higher education, the welfare cuts, the EI cuts. Relatively speaking, this was not a campaign that focused a lot on social policy issues.
How can people with progressive politics effectively challenge the new government during its mandate?
Well, I think this is where the left has to take, in my view, a very, very sober reading of the election. Not get carried away, as I think some commentators have, with the NDP carrying 10 more seats into the parliament. That's particularly been the case on the West Coast, where obviously there's quite a big shift in NDP seats out of the West Coast. You know, popular vote totals were not a great shift in this campaign, about 1% increase of the NDP in popular vote. So on that ground, it was not a very successful campaign. It was, again, the NDP seat total. It was partly the peculiarity of the electoral system that led to the rise in seats. Secondly, I think you have to account that this was probably the most right-wing around social policy issues campaign that the NDP have undertaken. It was a campaign, you know, focused on corruption in government, how they bring sincerity to government, you know, and how they would bring good governance, how they would bring decorum to parliament. It was a very right-wing campaign they led. That was on the issues, but also in the style of mobilization. So I think the left has to begin with a sober assessment of the kind of politics that the NDP is now on offer. Its program was, at the end of the day, when you look at it, another form of neoliberalism as the other two platforms. It called for restraint in government spending. It called for balanced budget. Its social policy proposals were all more or less a variation of the liberal and liberals' ones, a little bit more money, but more or less variations. They ran a law and order campaign. They ran a conservative campaign around defense issues. They said nothing about foreign government intervention in Haiti or in Afghanistan. In fact, there seems they are part of the all-party consensus about over Canadian involvement in the war on terror and in Haitian intervention. So I think, you know, we have to begin it from a very sober accounting where we are at that level. As well, I think the moment where the social coalitions coming together and fighting extensively in campaigns, which was an important aspect, you know, going back before the free trade against the cruise missile defense campaigns through the early 80s, the anti-free trade campaigns in the late 80s and mid-90s. This was the least involved that the social movements and social coalitions were involved in any election in Canada. The biggest moment was, to some extent, the Think Twice coalition that appeared about 2 weeks before the campaign's end, pushing more or less for the Strategic Voting Alliance to block the Conservatives. Other than that, you know, there was a small campaign around defense spending, some small campaigns around tax cuts, some very small campaigns that each of the unions did on education, but a very minimal involvement and mobilization. So I think we have to begin a sustained process of thinking how we are going to piece back together political coalitions, social coalitions, apart from the NDP. And also going beyond that, the way that we're going to develop a program independent of the NDP to push for a different kind of social policy and a different kind of vision of what Canada could be as a more democratic and more egalitarian country.
How long do you expect this government to last?
This is a very, very precarious parliament. We have now been in a parliamentary and national impasse over the question of national recognition of the Aboriginal peoples in Quebec and Canada for some time. These impasses are, of course, now reflected in this kind of stalemate that we're getting in parliament, which is accentuated, of course, by the single-member plurality electoral system, you know, giving undue weight to regionalism. So it is a very precarious parliament, largely the bloc that is most logical and probably will be, to some extent, the working basis for the Tories will be compromises around decentralism that, you know, has a common base with Alberta conservatives, southern conservatives from all across the west, from Manitoba through BC, with the Bloc Québécois. So at any time, that alliance could fall apart. I think the Liberals, though, will try and avoid triggering any kind of election or be aggressive in that mode also until they have their own leadership campaign. You know, the balance is precarious, but there are things that could upset at any point in time. Most likely it'll last 2 years.
Well, thank you for speaking with me this morning.
Good to hear from you.
I've been speaking with Greg Albo. Greg is a professor of political science at York University.